Cambridge Assessment International Education, Cambridge IGCSE, English as a Second Language, Paper 2, Listening. Exercise 1. You will hear 8 short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, C, or D, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. Question 1. What did the boy do on the school science trip?
How was your science trip to the forest this afternoon?
Oh, it was quite good fun in the end. One thing we had to do was choose a tree, prepare a description of it, then everyone else had to try and work out which one it was. I picked a really old one, which was almost 3 metres wide, apparently. I didn't have my phone with me, otherwise I would have taken a picture. But I drew it. Here, what do you think? I really wanted to climb it, but we weren't allowed to.
How was your science trip to the forest this afternoon?
Oh, it was quite good fun in the end. One thing we had to do was choose a tree, prepare a description of it, then everyone else had to try and work out which one it was. I picked a really old one, which was almost 3 metres wide, apparently. I didn't have my phone with me, otherwise I would have taken a picture. But I drew it. Here, what do you think? I really wanted to climb it, but we weren't allowed to.
Question 2. Which activity is the girl looking forward to most?
Are you going on the activity weekend?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait to try sailing. I've never done that before. But I'm also going kayaking. And actually, nothing will beat that. It's what I'd choose if we could only do one thing.
But you can do 4, can't you?
Yeah, so I'm also doing a windsurfing class. I think I'll be good at that. And then I'm going to have a go at water skiing. That sounds fun too. I just hope I don't fall in.
Are you going on the activity weekend?
Yeah, I'm so excited. I can't wait to try sailing. I've never done that before. But I'm also going kayaking. And actually, nothing will beat that. It's what I'd choose if we could only do one thing.
But you can do 4, can't you?
Yeah, so I'm also doing a windsurfing class. I think I'll be good at that. And then I'm going to have a go at water skiing. That sounds fun too. I just hope I don't fall in.
Question 3. Where is the guide taking the tour group next?
Let's stop here for a moment. Can you all hear me? We're just in front of the museum here. As you can see, it's a beautiful building. Well worth a visit if you have time during your stay. Actually, there's an exhibition in there all about the Old Town Bridge, where we're going shortly after we've been to the market. You'll have time to look around there. And don't worry if you're getting tired, we'll have a short break after all that in a nice cafe just around the corner. Okay, let's go. Let's stop here for a moment. Can you all hear me? We're just in front of the museum here. As you can see, it's a beautiful building. Well worth a visit if you have time during your stay. Actually, there's an exhibition in there all about the Old Town Bridge, where we're going shortly after we've been to the market. You'll have time to look around there. And don't worry if you're getting tired, we'll have a short break after all that in a nice cafe just around the corner. Okay, let's go.
Question 4. How did the girl find out about the concert?
Have you heard there's going to be a concert in the park next month?
Yeah, and it's free. In fact, there's a poster about it over there. I was chatting to my neighbour yesterday and she told me it's going to take place every year from now on. Anyway, we got a leaflet in the post last week with all the details.
Me too.
Actually, that's how I heard about it. I've just sent a message to my friends about meeting up there. Are you going too?
Definitely. I'll see you there. Have you heard there's going to be a concert in the park next month?
Yeah, and it's free. In fact, there's a poster about it over there. I was chatting to my neighbour yesterday, and she told me it's going to take place every year from now on. Anyway, we got a leaflet in the post last week with all the details.
Me too.
Actually, that's how I heard about it. I've just sent a message to my friends about meeting up there. Are you going too?
Definitely. I'll see you there.
Question 5. Where does the girl think her school folder is now?
Mum, I'm at school, but I've forgotten my folder and I need it for geography this afternoon. Can you bring it at lunchtime, please? It's the one I put at the bottom of the stairs when I got home yesterday, remember? You told me to take it up to my bedroom. I know I put it on my desk. Then I got some papers from my shelf to put in it and took everything downstairs to sort out while I was sitting on the sofa watching TV. I guess I must have forgotten to take it upstairs again. Mum, I'm at school, but I've forgotten my folder and I need it for geography this afternoon. Can you bring it at lunchtime, please? It's the one I put at the bottom of the stairs when I got home yesterday, remember? You told me to take it up to my bedroom. I know I put it on my desk. Then I got some papers from my shelf to put in it and took everything downstairs to sort out while I was sitting on the sofa watching TV. I guess I must have forgotten to take it upstairs again.
Question 6. What does the park look like now?
Grandad, we've just been to the park. Mum said you used to live right next to it.
That's right. Years ago, I could see the park from my window. There were trees along the edge, but they weren't that tall, so I had a good view of the pond near the corner.
There's a tennis court there now. I expect it's changed a lot. The trees have grown, obviously. You can't see the houses anymore. I heard there used to be a little cafe there too.
Yes, it was very popular. It's a shame that closed.
Grandad, we've just been to the park. Mum said you used to live right next to it.
That's right. Years ago, I could see the park from my window. There were trees along the edge, but they weren't that tall, so I had a good view of the pond near the corner.
There's a tennis court there now. I expect it's changed a lot. The trees have grown, obviously. You can't see the houses anymore. I heard there used to be a little cafe there too.
Yes, it was very popular. It's a shame that closed.
Question 7. How do the two friends decide to get to the train station?
John, what time do we have to be at the train station tomorrow?
9:30. My mom said she could give us a lift. That'll be quicker than walking.
Actually, it might not be. The traffic can be busy at that time of day. We could cycle there.
Yeah? Or just get the bus. Though there are never any spare seats in the morning.
You're right about that. And I've just remembered that my bike needs fixing. So, shall we go with your first suggestion? Then we can walk back in the afternoon.
Fine.
John, what time do we have to be at the train station tomorrow?
9:30. My mom said she could give us a lift. That'll be quicker than walking.
Actually, it might not be. The traffic can be busy at that time of day. We could cycle there.
Yeah? Or just get the bus. Though there are never any spare seats in the morning.
You're right about that. And I've just remembered that my bike needs fixing. So, shall we go with your first suggestion? Then we can walk back in the afternoon.
Fine.
Question 8. Which design has been chosen for the new school logo?
Now, the results of the school logo competition.
So we wanted to include a tree representing the idea of growth and reading to represent learning. We really liked logos where the trunk of the tree looks like a single arm with a hand creating branches. After some discussion, though, we went for the shape of an upright figure for the trunk. Some logos had children sitting beneath the tree reading, but in the one we picked, they're playing around the tree. There's also an open book to show both fun and serious sides of learning. Now, the results of the school logo competition. So we wanted to include a tree representing the idea of growth and reading to represent learning. We really liked logos where the trunk of the tree looks like a single arm with a hand creating branches. After some discussion, though, we went for the shape of an upright figure for the trunk. Some logos had children sitting beneath the tree reading, but in the one we picked, they're playing around the tree. There's also an open book to show both fun and serious sides of learning.
That is the end of exercise one. Now turn to exercise two. Exercise two. You will hear five short recordings. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear each recording twice. You will hear two friends talking about a new shop in their town. Now look at questions 9 and 10.
Did you know that a new Mini Max store has opened in town?
Really? Where is it?
You know where those offices have just been built? Well, it's not far from there, just before the road goes up and over the river. So it's really close to the town centre, but without all the traffic and noise. I think it'll do well.
Do you like the clothes there?
I had a quick look on my way home yesterday. I was looking for some trousers, but all the ones I wanted were out of stock. They're getting some different stuff in next week, apparently. Then some of the old stuff will be on offer.
Cool. I'll check it out.
Did you know that a new Mini Max store has opened in town?
Really? Where is it?
You know where those offices have just been built? Well, it's not far from there, just before the road goes up and over the river. So it's really close to the town centre, but without all the traffic and noise. I think it'll do well.
Do you like the clothes there?
I had a quick look on my way home yesterday. I was looking for some trousers, but all the ones I wanted were out of stock. They're getting some different stuff in next week, apparently. Then some of the old stuff will be on offer.
Cool. I'll check it out.
You will hear a man talking about a party he is arranging. Now look at questions 11 and 12.
Hi, Annetta. Did I mention I'm organizing a big family party? A bit like the one my dad arranged for my mom when she was 60. They've been married for 40 years, so it's time for a celebration. Dad doesn't work at weekends anymore, so it's going to be during the day on Saturday. It's been quite stressful organizing it. Anyway, it's going to be at the venue you mentioned recently. I wasn't sure if it'd be suitable, especially if everyone turns up. But I had a look, and it couldn't be better. They don't organize food and drink, though. It'll be such a relief if I can find someone to do that. Any ideas? I'll call you later. Hi, Annetta. Did I mention I'm organizing a big family party? A bit like the one my dad arranged for my mom when she was 60. They've been married for 40 years, so it's time for a celebration. Dad doesn't work at weekends anymore, so it's going to be during the day on Saturday. It's been quite stressful organizing it. Anyway, it's going to be at the venue you mentioned recently. I wasn't sure if it'd be suitable, especially if everyone turns up, but I had a look, and it couldn't be better. They don't organize food and drink, though. It'll be such a relief if I can find someone to do that. Any ideas? I'll call you later.
You will hear two friends talking about going to university. Now look at questions 13 and 14.
Have you sent in your university application yet?
Yeah, can't wait to hear back. Going to university's always been my dream. It's not only about having more freedom, it's more that once we've got a degree, our employment opportunities will be so much better. Not that I'm planning on stopping studying then.
Moving away from home's a big thing, though. It's not like I don't know the place I'm hoping to go to, but having to deal with money and cook for myself, that'll all be a challenge. But I'll certainly give it a go.
I'm more than ready to try. Plus, everyone will be in the same situation, so it won't be hard to meet people wherever we go.
Have you sent in your university application yet?
Yeah, can't wait to hear back. Going to university's always been my dream. It's not only about having more freedom, it's more that once we've got a degree, our employment opportunities will be so much better. Not that I'm planning on stopping studying then.
Moving away from home's a big thing, though. It's not like I don't know the place I'm hoping to go to, but having to deal with money and cook for myself, that'll all be a challenge. But I'll certainly give it a go.
I'm more than ready to try. Plus, everyone will be in the same situation, so it won't be hard to meet people wherever we go.
You will hear a teacher making some announcements. Now look at questions 15 and 16.
Now, the next thing on my list is the school uniform. We're keen to find out how you feel about it, especially since we altered it recently. We sent out a questionnaire last week, but haven't had many replies. As I mentioned before, you don't have to respond, but it'd be really helpful if you could, please. And finally, the story writing competition. If you haven't entered yet, don't leave it too long, as we need plenty of time to read your stories to decide on the winner. I've established a small team to help me make that decision, including the author whose workshop the winner will get to attend next month. Let me know if you've got any questions. Now, the next thing on my list is the school uniform. We're keen to find out how you feel about it, especially since we altered it recently. We sent out a questionnaire last week, but haven't had many replies. As I mentioned before, you don't have to respond, but it'd be really helpful if you could, please. And finally, the story writing competition. If you haven't entered yet, don't leave it too long, as we need plenty of time to read your stories to decide on the winner. I've established a small team to help me make that decision, including the author whose workshop the winner will get to attend next month. Let me know if you've got any questions.
You will hear two friends talking about cars. Now look at questions 17 and 18.
Have you still got your car, James?
I sold it. I'd had it a while and knew it needed some repairs before long, which is never cheap. But it struck me I couldn't justify keeping it, as I hardly used it. I was already taking trains and buses most of the time, which is much greener.
I belong to a car-sharing club. It's a local group limited to only 20 people in my neighborhood, but it's part of a national organization. They sorted out all the paperwork and membership for us, which was really straightforward. So when I need a car, I book online, and so far I've always managed to get one, even at the last minute. Have you still got your car, James?
I sold it. I'd had it a while and knew it needed some repairs before long, which is never cheap. But it struck me I couldn't justify keeping it as I hardly used it. I was already taking trains and buses most of the time, which is much greener.
I belong to a car sharing club. It's a local group limited to only 20 people in my neighborhood, but it's part of a national organization. They sorted out all the paperwork and membership for us, which was really straightforward. So when I need a car, I book online, and so far I've always managed to get one, even at the last minute.
That is the end of exercise 2. Now turn to exercise 3. Exercise 3. You will hear a student called Freddie giving a talk about a walking route in Wales, a country in the United Kingdom. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the talk twice. Now look at questions 19 to 26.
I'm Freddie. I'm going to talk about a walking route called the Wales Coast Path. What makes this path special? Well, from start to finish, it takes you along every part of the coast of Wales. You can then continue on another long-distance path along the border between England and Wales. If you do both of these, they form a continuous circle around Wales. The path opened in 2012. A woman called Ari Kane was the first person to go from end to end, a distance of 870 miles. On average, it takes 82 days, but she ran it in 41 days. A man called Dave Quarrell set off at the same time and finished after 71 days, walking all the way. I spent a week walking part of the path last summer. As I know people in the area, they put me up in their homes, but there are plenty of campsites to stay in too. I'm determined to walk more sections of the path, though I might have to book into hotels when I do that. When I originally heard about the path, I imagined a long route at sea level, curving around the coast. I thought it'd be easy to walk along. The reality is the opposite, though. It constantly climbs up and down, changing in width at the same time. When I finished my week's walking, you might imagine I was glad to get to the end. Actually, I could easily have kept going. It even made me start planning my next longer trip, which I'm hoping to do this year. Completing that will give me a real sense of achievement. Before setting off, I got lots of advice. For example, you shouldn't go too close to cliff edges, especially when the weather's very windy, though I was already aware of that. But one thing that hadn't occurred to me before was you need to avoid getting cut off by the sea on some beaches at certain times when the tide comes in. I was very careful about that. There's an app for the path, which means you can see how far you've travelled. I'd already worked out my distances before starting. But when I passed a castle along the route, I was able to find out about it with just a couple of clicks. Apparently, it also helps you recognise the species of birds you're likely to spot, if you're interested in that. There are plenty of signposts along the path, blue and yellow ones with a special logo on them, and red ones every now and then. The former mark the official way to go, and the latter provide optional directions where necessary. Occasionally, storm damage means a short section might be blocked temporarily, but you'll see a notice about this, and there'll be more information about it on the website.
Now you will hear the talk again.
I'm Freddie. I'm going to talk about a walking route called the Wales Coast Path. What makes this path special? Well, from start to finish, it takes you along every part of the coast of Wales. You can then continue on another long-distance path along the border between England and Wales. If you do both of these, they form a continuous circle around Wales. The path opened in 2012. A woman called Ari Kane was the first person to go from end to end, a distance of 870 miles. On average, it takes 82 days, but she ran it in 41 days. A man called Dave Quarrell set off at the same time and finished after 71 days, walking all the way. I spent a week walking part of the path last summer. As I know people in the area, they put me up in their homes, but there are plenty of campsites to stay in too. I'm determined to walk more sections of the path, though I might have to book into hotels when I do that. When I originally heard about the path, I imagined a long route at sea level, curving around the coast. I thought it'd be easy to walk along. The reality is the opposite, though. It constantly climbs up and down, changing in width at the same time. When I finished my week's walking, you might imagine I was glad to get to the end. Actually, I could easily have kept going. It even made me start planning my next longer trip, which I'm hoping to do this year. Completing that will give me a real sense of achievement. Before setting off, I got lots of advice. For example, you shouldn't go too close to cliff edges, especially when the weather's very windy, though I was already aware of that. But one thing that hadn't occurred to me before was you need to avoid getting cut off by the sea on some beaches at certain times when the tide comes in. I was very careful about that. There's an app for the path, which means you can see how far you've travelled. I'd already worked out my distances before starting, but when I passed a castle along the route, I was able to find out about it with just a couple of clicks. Apparently, it also helps you recognise the species of birds you're likely to spot, if you're interested in that. There are plenty of signposts along the path, blue and yellow ones with a special logo on them, and red ones every now and then. The former mark the official way to go, and the latter provide optional directions where necessary. Occasionally, storm damage means a short section might be blocked temporarily. But you'll see a notice about this, and there'll be more information about it on the website.
That is the end of exercise 3. Now turn to exercise 4. Exercise 4. You will hear 6 people talking about being a volunteer. For questions 27 to 32, choose from the list A to H which idea each speaker expresses. Write the correct letter A to H on the answer line. Use each letter only once. There are 2 extra letters which you do not need to use. You will hear the recordings twice. Now read statements A to H. Speaker 1.
I volunteer for a group called Pick It Up. We meet on Sunday mornings once a month and spend a few hours picking up litter. places like the town centre and the local park. You need to be quite strong physically. There's lots of bending down, carrying bags and walking. But we all have a good laugh together while we're working. I just love it when someone comments on what we've achieved. After all, we're doing it for the community.
Speaker 2.
I go to a day centre for elderly people every Saturday afternoon, where I help out with activities. It's always so enjoyable. In fact, if I was paid for it, I wouldn't hesitate to give up my current position and spend the whole week doing it. There are usually 4 or 5 volunteers helping the staff, including a student who's training to be a carer, and a gardener, too. I don't know them that well, though.
Speaker 3.
On Monday afternoons, I go to a primary school and help children with their reading skills. When I was younger, I thought about becoming a teacher, but I ended up running a small business, which means spending lots of time working on my own. I don't mind that, but what I get from being a reading volunteer above all is a sense of cooperation, that I'm working with the class teachers each time I'm there.
Speaker 4.
I volunteer as a football coach for my local community center. Every weekend you'll find me there with a group of about 20 kids. I love being active and also love being in charge. I'm not very good at being told what to do by others. Some of the moms and dads watch, unless it's too cold or windy to hang around. We often chat afterwards, though. I've made some good friends through the club.
Speaker 5.
I'm really into running and belong to a running club. I enter quite a few races, but also help at other races when I'm not taking part myself. There are all sorts of tasks to do, including setting up the course, giving directions, recording times, and so on. The longer I'm in the fresh air, the happier I am. I don't mind being given instructions. In fact, it's made me realize that I'd be useless in charge of a group of people.
Speaker 6.
I volunteer at a charity shop on Saturdays. People bring stuff they don't want anymore and we sell it. All the money goes to a children's charity. Even though I haven't gained any new skills in particular, I'm sure doing this will make me more employable when I leave college. Anyway, I've done it for a while and think I'd rather volunteer at something more practical instead, which benefits people more directly. I definitely get more from doing that.
Now you will hear the 6 speakers again. Speaker 1. I volunteer for a group called Pick It Up. We meet on Sunday mornings once a month and spend a few hours picking up litter. Places like the town centre and the local park. You need to be quite strong physically. There's lots of bending down, carrying bags and walking. But we all have a good laugh together while we're working. I just love it when someone comments on what we've achieved. After all, we're doing it for the community.
Speaker 2.
I go to a day centre for elderly people every Saturday afternoon, where I help out with activities. It's always so enjoyable. In fact, if I was paid for it, I wouldn't hesitate to give up my current position and spend the whole week doing it. There are usually 4 or 5 volunteers helping the staff, including a student who's training to be a carer, and a gardener, too. I don't know them that well, though.
Speaker 3.
On Monday afternoons, I go to a primary school and help children with their reading skills. When I was younger, I thought about becoming a teacher, but I ended up running a small business, which means spending lots of time working on my own. I don't mind that, but what I get from being a reading volunteer above all is a sense of cooperation, that I'm working with the class teachers each time I'm there.
Speaker 4.
I volunteer as a football coach from my local community center. Every weekend you'll find me there with a group of about 20 kids. I love being active, and also love being in charge. I'm not very good at being told what to do by others. Some of the moms and dads watch, unless it's too cold or windy to hang around. We often chat afterwards, though. I've made some good friends through the club.
Speaker 5.
I'm really into running and belong to a running club. I enter quite a few races, but also help at other races when I'm not taking part myself. There are all sorts of tasks to do, including setting up the course, giving directions, recording times, and so on. The longer I'm in the fresh air, the happier I am. I don't mind being given instructions. In fact, it's made me realize that I'd be useless in charge of a group of people.
Speaker 6.
I volunteer at a charity shop on Saturdays. People bring stuff they don't want anymore and we sell it. All the money goes to a children's charity. Even though I haven't gained any new skills in particular, I'm sure doing this will make me more employable when I leave college. Anyway, I've done it for a while and think I'd rather volunteer at something more practical instead, which benefits people more directly. I definitely get more from doing that.
That is the end of exercise 4. Now turn to exercise 5. Exercise 5. You will hear an interview with a diving instructor called Nadia Long. For each question, choose the correct answer, A, B, or C, and put a tick in the appropriate box. You will hear the interview twice. Now look at questions 33 to 40.
Welcome, Nadia. We want to hear all about your work as a diving instructor. So, why did you decide to make diving your profession?
I've always loved being in the water. I remember my uncle wrote to me when I was young, telling me about a diving holiday. It sounded fantastic. He was a journalist, so he had a piece published about it too. Then I saw a programme about divers exploring underwater, and it occurred to me that was how I wanted to make a living as soon as I was old enough.
When did you do your first sea dive?
I was 14. It was in England. And as it was a cold water dive, we had to wear full wetsuits and everything. I remember thinking I wouldn't be able to lift it all up myself. There were 20 of us diving that day, though most of the others had been before. To be honest, I barely noticed them, or the rather cool temperatures. I was so focused on what we were about to do.
Then you got your first qualification aged 17. That can be quite expensive, can't it?
That depends. Some companies that train divers charge a fee which includes everything. others charge a lower basic fee, but then add extra costs. So you wouldn't be charged if you had your own gear, for example. It's worth looking into this beforehand. I was lucky because my local company gave me a discount for doing some cleaning at weekends. It was a good deal.
Then your next step was to become what's known as a dive master?
Yes, so I could take other people diving. Before starting that course, you need to have done at least 40 dives, which didn't take as long as I'd thought. The course itself is both practical and academic, and I definitely found the practical stuff much less of a challenge. That included things like organising trips and showing you can deal with accidents if they occur.
What's it like taking a beginner diving for the first time?
That's something I love doing. Sometimes they're nervous and it's obvious from their behaviour how pleased they are with themselves when they're back on dry land. You hear them telling others what an incredible experience they've had, but sometimes they don't need to say anything. You can tell from their eyes how they feel, and nothing beats that for me.
And now you run your own diving centre?
Yes, I've had it for 2 years. I'd been thinking about starting my own business for a while. Then I was travelling with some other divers who I got on well with. We went to a dive centre where one had worked for a few years, and I realised the people in charge were thinking about selling. After talking to them, they offered me the business. I couldn't believe my luck.
When you're not diving, what else do you do at the dive centre?
All sorts. I used to do quite a bit of work promoting the centre and getting people to come here for their qualifications, though now people tend to come because they've heard of us or maybe they've read about us. I like to keep the website up to date with reports of what's been going on. That's probably what keeps me busiest these days.
Finally, which dive will you always remember?
That's hard to answer. But recently I was diving at a place I hadn't been to all that often before, and a whale swam past us. I knew exactly what it was, but the point is that we hadn't gone there to look for them, and they aren't all that common in the area, so it was a real bonus.
Thanks, Nadia.
Now you will hear the interview again.
Welcome, Nadia. We want to hear all about your work as a diving instructor. So, why did you decide to make diving your profession?
I've always loved being in the water. I remember my uncle wrote to me when I was young, telling me about a diving holiday. It sounded fantastic. He was a journalist, so he had a piece published about it too. Then I saw a programme about divers exploring underwater, and it occurred to me that was how I wanted to make a living as soon as I was old enough.
When did you do your first sea dive?
I was 14. It was in England, and as it was a cold water dive, we had to wear full wetsuits and everything. I remember thinking I wouldn't be able to lift it all up myself. There were 20 of us diving that day, though most of the others had been before. To be honest, I barely noticed them. Or the rather cool temperatures. I was so focused on what we were about to do.
Then you got your first qualification aged 17. That can be quite expensive, can't it?
That depends. Some companies that train divers charge a fee which includes everything. Others charge a lower basic fee, but then add extra costs. So you wouldn't be charged if you had your own gear, for example. It's worth looking into this beforehand. I was lucky because my local company gave me a discount for doing some cleaning at weekends. It was a good deal.
Then your next step was to become what's known as a dive master?
Yes, so I could take other people diving. Before starting that course, you need to have done at least 40 dives, which didn't take as long as I'd thought. The course itself is both practical and academic, and I definitely found the practical stuff much less of a challenge. That included things like organising trips and showing you can deal with accidents if they occur.
What's it like taking a beginner diving for the first time?
That's something I love doing. Sometimes they're nervous and it's obvious from their behaviour how pleased they are with themselves when they're back on dry land. You hear them telling others what an incredible experience they've had, but sometimes they don't need to say anything. You can tell from their eyes how they feel, and nothing beats that for me.
And now you run your own diving centre?
Yes, I've had it for 2 years. I'd been thinking about starting my own business for a while. Then I was travelling with some other divers who I got on well with. We went to a dive centre where one had worked for a few years, and I realised the people in charge were thinking about selling. After talking to them, they offered me the business. I couldn't believe my luck.
When you're not diving, what else do you do at the dive centre?
All sorts. I used to do quite a bit of work promoting the centre and getting people to come here for their qualifications. Though now, people tend to come because they've heard of us or maybe they've read about us. I like to keep the website up to date with reports of what's been going on. That's probably what keeps me busiest these days.
Finally, which dive will you always remember?
That's hard to answer. But recently I was diving at a place I hadn't been to all that often before, and a whale swam past us. I knew exactly what it was, but the point is that we hadn't gone there to look for them, and they aren't all that common in the area, so it was a real bonus.
Thanks, Nadia.
That is the end of exercise 5. You now have 6 minutes to copy your answers onto the separate answer sheet. I will remind you when there is 1 minute left.
You have one more minute left. That is the end of the examination.